the 5th of September. Up betimes and to my viol a while, and so to the office, and there sat, and busy all the morning. So at noon to the exchange, and so home to dinner, where I met Creed, who dined with me, and after dinner mightily importuned by Captain Hicks, who came to tell my wife the names and stories of all the shells, which was a pretty present which he made her the other day. He being gone, Creed, my wife and I, to Cornhill, and after many trials bought my wife a chink, that is, a painted Indian calico, for to line her new study, which is very pretty. So home with her, and then I away, Creed being gone, to Captain Miner's upon Tower Hill, and there, abating only some impertinences of his, I did inform myself well in things relating to the East Indies, both of the country, and the disappointment the King met with the last voyage by the knavery of the Portugal Viceroy, and the inconsiderableness of the place of Bombay, if we had had it. But above all things, it seemed strange to me that matters should not be understood before they went out, and also that such a thing as this, which was expected to be one of the best parts of the Queen's portion, should not be better understood, it being, if we had it, but a poor place, and not really so was as described to our King in the draft of it, but a poor little island. Whereas they made the King and Lord Chancellor, and the other learned men about the King, believed that that, and other islands which are near it, were all one piece. And so the draft was drawn, and presented to the King, and believed by the King, and expected to prove so when our men came thither. But it is quite otherwise. Thence to my office, and after several letters writ, home to supper and to bed, and took a pill. I hear this day that Sir William Batten was fain to put ashore at Quinborough with my lady, who hath been so sick she swears never to go to sea again. But it happens well that Holmes is come home into the Downs, where he will meet my lady, and it may be do her more good than she looked for. He brings news of the peace between Tangier and the Moors, but the particulars I know not. He has come but yesterday. The 6th of September, Lord's Day. My pill I took last night worked very well, and I lay long in bed and sweat to get away the itching, all about my body from head to foot, which is beginning again as it did the last winter, and I find after I am up that it is abated. I stayed at home all day, and my wife also, whom, God forgive me, I stayed along with me for fear of her seeing of Pembleton. But she and I enjoyed one another all day long with great pleasure, contriving about my wife's closet and the red chamber, whither we intend to go up, she and I, to lie. We dined alone, and supped also at night, my brother John with us, and so to prayers and to bed. The 7th of September. Up pretty betimes, and a while to my viol, and then abroad to several places to buy things for the furnishing my house and my wife's closet. And then met my Uncle Thomas by appointment, and he and I to the prerogative office in Paternoster Row, and there searched and found my Uncle Day's will, and read it over, and advised upon it, and his wife's after him. And though my Aunt Perkins's testimony is very good, yet I fear the estate being great, and the rest that are able to inform us in matters are all possessed of more or less of the estate, it will be hard for us ever to do anything, nor will I adventure anything till I see what part will be given to us by my Uncle Thomas of all that is gained. But I had another end of putting my uncle into some doubts, that so I might keep him from going yet into the country, that he may be there against the court at his own charge. And so I left him and his son at a loss what to do till I see them again. And so I to my Lord Crewe's, thinking to have dined there, but it was too late, and so back, and called at my brother's, and Mistress Holden's, about several businesses, and went all alone to the Black Spread Eagle in Bride Lane, and there had a chop of veal and some bread, cheese, and beer, cost me a shilling to my dinner, and so through Fleet Alley, God forgive me, out of an itch to look upon the sluts there, against which, when I saw them, my stomach turned. And so to Bartholomew Fair, where I met with Mr. Pickering, and he and I to see the monkeys at the Dutch House, which is far beyond the other that my wife and I saw the other day, and thence to see the dancing on the ropes, which was very poor and tedious. But he and I fell in discourse about my Lord Sandwich. He tells me how he is sorry for my lord at his being at Chelsea, and that his but seeming so to my lord without speaking one word hath put him clear out of my lord's favour, so as that he was fain to leave him before he went into the country, for that he was put to eat with his servants. But I could not fish from him, though I know it, what was the matter. But am very sorry to see that my lord hath thus much forgot his honour, but am resolved not to meddle with it. The play being done, I stole from him and hied home, buying several things at the ironmonger's, dogs, tongs, and shovels for my wife's closet and the rest of my house, and so home. And thence to my office a while, and so home to supper and to bed. By my letters from Tangier today, I hear that it grows very strong by land, and the mole goes on. They have lately killed 200 of the Moors, and lost about 40 or 50. I am mightily afeard of laying out too much money in goods upon my house, but it is not money flung away, though I reckon nothing money but what it is in bank, till I have a good sum beforehand in the world. The 8th of September. Up and to my viol a while, and then to my office, one Phillips having brought me a draught of the Catherine yacht, prettily well done for the common way of doing it. At the office all the morning making up our last half-year's accounts to my Lord Treasurer, which comes to £160,000 or thereabouts, the proper expense of this half-year, only with an addition of £13,000 for the threepences due of the last account to the Treasurer for his disbursements, and £1,100 for this half-year's, so that in 3 years and a half his threepences come to £14,100. Dined at home with my wife, it being washing day. We had a good pie baked of a leg of mutton. And then to my office, and then abroad, and among other places to Moxon's, and there bought a pair of globes, cost me £3.10, with which I'm well pleased, I buying them principally for my wife, who hath a mind to understand them, and I shall take pleasure to teach her. But here I saw his great window in his dining-room, where there is the two terrestrial hemispheres, so painted as I never saw in my life, and nobly done and to good purpose, done by his own hand. Thence home to my office, and there at business late, and then to supper, home, and to bed. My people sitting up longer than ordinary before they had done their washing. The 9th of September. Up by break a day, and then to my viol a while, and so to Sir William Warren's by agreement, and after talking and eating something with him, he and I down by water to Woolwich, and there I did several businesses and had good discourse, and thence walked to Greenwich. In my way a little boy overtook us with a fine cup, turned out of lignum vitae, which the poor child confessed was made in the King's Yard by his father, a turner there, and that he doth often do it, and that I might have one, and God knows what, which I shall examine. Thence to Sir William Warren again, and there draw up a contract for masts, which he is to sell us, and so home to dinner, finding my poor wife busy. I, after dinner, to the office, and then to Whitehall to Sir George Carteret's, but did not speak with him, and so to Westminster Hall, God forgive me, thinking to meet Mistress Lane, but she was not there. But here I met with Ned Pickering, with whom I walked 3 or 4 hours till evening, he telling me the whole business of my lord's folly with this Mistress Beck at Chelsea. Of all which I am ashamed to see my lord so grossly play the beast and fool, to the flinging off of all honour, friends, servants, and everything and person that is good, and only will have his private lust undisturbed with this common whore. His sitting up night after night alone, suffering nobody to come to them, and all the day too, casting off Pickering, basely reproaching him with his small estate, which yet is a good one, and other poor courses to obtain privacy beneath his honour, with his carrying her abroad and playing on his lute under her window, and 40 other poor sordid things, which I am grieved to hear. But believe it to no purpose for me to meddle with it, but let him go on till God Almighty and his own conscience and thoughts of his lady and family do it. So, after long discourse, to my full satisfaction but great trouble, I home by water, and at my office late. And so to supper to my poor wife, and so to bed, being troubled to think that I shall be forced to go to Brampton the next court, next week. the 10th of September. Up betimes into my office and then sat all the morning making a great contract with Sir William Warren for £3,000 worth of masts. But good God, to see what a man might do were I a knave! The whole business from beginning to the end, being done by me out of the office, and signed to by them upon once reading of it to them, without the least care or consultation either of quality, price, number, or need of them, only in general that it was good to have a store. But I hope my pains was such as the king hath the best bargain of masts hath been bought these 27 years in this office. Dined at home, and then to my office again, many people about business with me, and then stepped a little abroad about business to the wardrobe, but missed Mr. Moore, and elsewhere, and in my way met Mr. Moore, who tells me of the good peace that is made of Tangier with the Moors, but to continue but from 6 months to 6 months, and that the mole is laid out, and likely to be done with great ease and success. We to have a quantity of ground for our cattle about the town to our use. To my office late, and then home to supper after writing letters, and to bed. This day our cook-maid, we having no luck in maids nowadays, which was likely to prove a good servant, though none of the best cooks, fell sick, and is gone to her friend, having been with me but 4 days. The 11th of September. This morning, about 2 or 3 o'clock, knocked up in our backyard, and rising to the window, being moonshine, I find it was the constable and his watch, who had found our backyard door open, and so came in to see what the matter was. So I desired them to shut the door and bid them good night, and so to bed again. And at 6 o'clock up and a while to my vial, and then to the office, where all the morning upon the victualler's account, and then with him to dinner to the Dolphin, where I ate well but drunk no wine neither, which keeps me in such good order that I am mightily pleased with myself for it. Hither Mr. Moore came to me, and he and I home and advised about business, and so, after an hour's examining the state of the navy debts lately cast up, I took coach to Sir Philip Warwick's, but finding Sir George Carteret there, I did not go in, but directly home again, it raining hard, having first of all been with Creed and Mistress Harper about a cook-maid, and am like to have one from Creed's lodging. In my way home visited my Lord Crewe and Sir Thomas, thinking they might have inquired by the by of me, touching my Lord's matters at Chelsea, but they said nothing, and so after some slight common talk I bid them good night. At home to my office, and after a while doing business, home to supper and bed. The 12th and 13th of September. Up betimes and by water to Whitehall, and thence to Sir Philip Warwick's, and there had half an hour's private discourse with him, and did give him some good satisfaction in our navy matters, and he also me, as to the money paid, and due to the navy, so as he makes me assured by particulars that Sir George Carteret is paid within £80,000 every farthing that we to this day, nay to Michaelmas Day next, have demanded, and that I am sure is above £50,000 more than truly our expense hath been, whatever is become of the money. Home, with great content that I have thus begun an acquaintance with him, who is a great man, and a man of as much business as any man in England, which I will endeavour to deserve and keep. Thence by water to my office, where all the morning, and so to the change at noon, and there by appointment met and bring home my uncle Thomas, who resolves to go with me to Brampton on Monday next. I wish he may hold his mind. I do not tell him, and yet he believes that there is a court to be, that he is to do some business for us there. The truth is, I do find him a much more cunning fellow than I ever took him for. Nay, in his very drink he hath his wits about him. I took him home to dinner, and after dinner he begun, after a glass of wine or two, to exclaim against Sir George Carteret and his family in Jersey, bidding me to have a care of him, and how high, proud, false and politic a fellow he is, and how low he hath been under his command in the island. After dinner and long discourse he went away, to meet on Monday morning, and I to my office, and thence by water to Whitehall and Westminster Hall, about several businesses, and so home and to my office, writing a laborious letter about our last account to my Lord Treasurer, which took me till 1 o'clock in the morning. Lord's Day. so that Griffin was fain to carry it to Westminster to go by express, and my other letters of import to my father and elsewhere could not go at all. To bed between 1 and 2, and slept till 8, and lay talking till 9 with great pleasure with my wife. So up and put my clothes in order against tomorrow's journey, and then at noon to dinner, and all the afternoon almost playing and discoursing with my wife with great content, and then to my office, there to put papers in order against my going, and by and by comes my Uncle White to bid us to dinner tomorrow to a haunch of venison. I sent them yesterday, given me by Mr. Povey, but I cannot go, but my wife will. Then into the garden to read my weekly vows, and then home, where at supper, saying to my wife in ordinary fondness, "Well, shall you and I never travel together again?" She took me up and offered and desired to go along with me. I, thinking by that means to have her safe from harm's way at home here, was willing enough to feign, and after some difficulties made, did send about for a horse and other things, and so I think she will go. So, in a hurry, getting myself and her things ready, to bed. The 14th of September. Up betimes, and my wife's mind and mine holds for her going. So she to get her ready, and I abroad to do the like for myself, and so home. And after setting everything at my office, and at home in order, by coach to Bishopgate, it being a very promising fair day. There at the Dolphin we met my Uncle Thomas, and his son-in-law, which seems a very sober man, and Mr. Moore. So Mr. Moore and my wife set out before, and my uncle and I stayed for his son Thomas, who by a sudden resolution is preparing to go with us, which makes me fear something of mischief which they design to do us. He staying a great while, the old man and I before, and about 8 mile off his son comes after us, and about 6 mile further we overtake Mr. Moore and my wife, which makes me mightily consider what a great deal of ground is lost in a little time, when it is to be got up again, by another, that is, to go his own ground, and the others too. And so, after a little bait, I paying all the reckonings the whole journey, at Ware, to Bunningford, where my wife, by drinking some cold beer, being hot herself, presently, after lighting, begins to be sick, and became so pale, and I alone with her in a great chamber there, that I thought she would have died. And so, in great horror, and having a great trial of my true love and passion for her, called the maids and mistress of the house, and so with some strong water, and after a little vomit, she came to be pretty well again. And so to bed, and I having put her to bed with great content, I called in my company and supped in the chamber by her, and being very merry in talk, supped, and then parted. And I to bed, and lay very well. This day my cousin Thomas dropped his hanger, and it was lost. The 15th of September. Up pretty betimes, and rode as far as Godmanchester, Mr. Moore having 2 falls, once in water, and another in dirt, and there light and eat and drunk, being all of us very weary, but especially my uncle and wife. Thence to Brampton to my father's, and there found all well, but not sensible how they ought to treat my uncle and his son, at least till the court be over, which vexed me. But upon my counsel they carried it fair to them, and so my father, cousin Thomas, and I up to Hinchingbrook, where I find my lord and his company gone to Boughton, which vexed me. But there I find my lady and the young ladies, and there I alone with my lady 2 hours, she carrying me through every part of the house and gardens, which are, and will be, mighty noble indeed. Here I saw Mistress Betty Pickering, who is a very well-bred and comely lady, but very fat. Thence, without so much as drinking, home with my father and cousin, who stayed for me, home, and to a good supper, after I had an hour's talk with my father abroad in the fields, wherein he began to talk very highly of my promises to him, of giving him the profits of Sturtlow, as if it were nothing that I give him out of my purse, and that he would have me to give this also from myself to my brothers and sisters. I mean Brampton, and all I think. I confess I was angry to hear him talk in that manner, and took him up roundly in it, and advised him, if he could not live upon £50 per annum, which was another part of his discourse, that he would think to come and live at Tom's again, where £50 per annum will be a good addition to Tom's trade, and I think that must be done when all is done. But my father spoke nothing more of it all the time I was in the country, though at that time he seemed to like it well enough. I also spoke with Piggott, too, this evening before I went in to supper, and doubt that I shall meet with some knots in my business tomorrow before I can do it at the court, but I shall do my best. After supper, my uncle and son to Stanks's to bed, which troubled me, all our father's beds being lent to Hinchingbrook, and so my wife and I to bed, she very weary. The 16th of September. Up betimes and with my wife to Hinchingbrook to see my lady, she being to go to my lord this morning, and there I left her, and so back to the court and heard Sir Robert Bernard's charges to the court's baron and leet, which took up till noon and was worth hearing, and after putting my business into some way, went home to my father's to dinner. And after dinner to the court, where Sir Robert and his son came again by and by, and then to our business. And my father and I, having given bond to him for the £21 Piggott owed him, my uncle Thomas did quietly admit himself and surrender to us the lands first mortgaged for our whole debt, and Sir Robert's added to it, which makes it up £209 to be paid in 6 months. But when I came to give him an account of more lands to be surrendered to us, wherein Piggott's wife was concerned, and she there to give her consent, Sir Robert would not hear of it, but begin to talk very high, that we were very cruel, and we had caution enough for our money, and he would not in conscience let the woman do it, and reproached my uncle, both he and his son, with taking use upon use for this money. To all which I did give him such answers, and spoke so well, and kept him so to it, that all the court was silent to hear us. And by report since, do confess they did never hear the like in that place. But he, by a while, had got our bond, and I was content to have as much as I could, though I could not get all, and so took Piggott's surrender of them, without his wife, and by Sir Robert's own consent, did tell the court that if the money were not paid in the time, and the security proved not sufficient, I would conclude myself wronged by Sir Robert, which he granted I should do. This kept us till night, but I'm heartily glad it ended so well on my uncle's part, he doing that and Prior's little house very willingly. So the court broke up, and my father and Mr. Shepley and I to Gorham's to drink, and then I left them and to the Bull, where my uncle was to hear what he and the people said of our business, and hear nothing but what liked me very well. And so by and by home and to supper, and with my mind in pretty good quiet, to bed. The 17th of September. Up, and my father being gone to bed ill last night, and continuing so this morning, I was forced to come to a new consideration whether it was fit for to let my uncle and his son go to Wisbeach about my uncle Day's estate, alone or no, and concluded it unfit, and so resolved to go with them myself. And so, leaving my wife there, I began a journey with them, and with much ado through the fens, along dykes, where sometimes we were ready to have our horses sink to the belly, we got by night, with great deal of stir and hard riding, to Parsons Drove, a heathen place, where I found my uncle and aunt Perkins and their daughters, poor wretches, in a sad poor thatched cottage, like a poor barn or stable, peeling of hemp, in which I did give myself good content to see their manner of preparing of hemp, and in a poor condition of habit, took them to our miserable inn, and there, after long stay, and hearing of Frank, their son, the miller, play upon his treble, as he calls it, with which he earns part of his living, and singing of a country bawdy song, we set down to supper. The whole crew and Frank's wife and children, a sad company of which I was ashamed, supped with us. And after supper, I talking with my aunt about her report concerning my uncle Day's will and surrender, I find her in such different reports from what she writes and says to other people, and short of what I expected, that I fear little will be done of good in it. By and by news is brought us that one of our horses is stole out of the stable, which proves my uncle, at which I was inwardly glad, I mean that it was not mine, and at this we were at a great loss, and they, doubting a person that lay at next door, a Londoner, some lawyer's clerk, we caused him to be secured in his bed, and made care to be taken to seize the horse, and so, about 12 at night or more, to bed, in a sad, cold, nasty chamber. Only the maid was indifferent handsome, and so I had a kiss or two of her, and I to bed. And a little after I was asleep, they waked me to tell me that the horse was found, which was good news, and so to sleep till the morning, but was bit cruelly, and nobody else of our company, which I wonder at, by the gnats. The 18th of September. Up and got our people together as soon as we could, and after eating a dish of cold cream, which was my supper last night, too, we took leave of our beggarly company, though they seemed good people, too, and over most sad fens, all the way observing the sad life that the people of that place, which, if they be born there, they call the breedlings of the place, do live, sometimes rowing from one spot to another, and then wading. To Wisbeach, a pretty town, and a fine church and library, where sundry very old abbey manuscripts, and a fine house built on the church ground by Secretary Thurlow, and a fine gallery built for him in the church, but now all in the Bishop of Ely's hands. After visiting the church, etc., we out of the town, by the help of a stranger, to find out one Blinkhorn, a miller, of whom we might inquire something of old days' disposal of his estate, and in whose hands it now is. And by great chance we met him and brought him to our inn to dinner, and instead of being informed in his estate by this fellow, we find that he is the next heir to the estate, which was matter of great sport to my cousin Thomas and me, to see such a fellow prevent us in our hopes, he being Day's brother's daughter's son, whereas we are but his sister's sons and grandsons. So that, after all, we were fain to propose our matter to him, and to get him to give us leave to look after the business, and so he to have one-third part, and we two the other two-third parts of what should be recovered of the estate, which he consented to. And after some discourse and paying the reckoning, we mounted again and rode, being very merry at our defeat, to Chatteris, my uncle very weary, and after supper and my telling of three stories to their good liking, of spirits, we all three in a chamber went to bed. The 19th of September. Up pretty betimes, and after eating something we set out, and I, being willing thereto, went by mistake with them to St. Ives, and there, it being known that it was their nearer way to London, I took leave of them there, they going straight to London, and I to Brampton, where I find my father ill in bed still, and Madam Norbury, whom, and her fair daughter and sister I was ashamed to kiss, but did, my lip being sore with riding in the wind and bit with the gnats, lately come to town, come to see my father and mother, and they, after a little stay being gone, I told my father my success. And after dinner my wife and I took horse and rode, with marvellous and the first and only hour of pleasure that ever I had in this estate since I had to do with it, to Brampton Woods, and through the wood rode and gathered nuts in my way. And then at Grafham to an old woman's house to drink where my wife used to go, and being in all circumstances highly pleased, and in my wife's riding, and good company at this time, I rode, and she showed me the river behind my father's house, which is very pleasant, and so saw her home, and I straight to Huntingdon, and there met Mr. Shepley, and to the Crown, having sent home my horse by Stanks, and there a barber came and trimmed me, and thence walked to Hinchingbrook, where my lord and ladies all are just alighted, and so I in among them, and my lord glad to see me, and the whole company. Here I stayed and supped with them, and after a good stay talking, but yet observing my lord to be so mightily engulfed in his pleasure in the country and company as I expected and hoped, I took leave of them, and after a walk in the courtyard in the dark with Will Howe, who tells me that my lord doth not enjoy himself and please himself as he used to do, but will haste up to London, and that he is resolved to go to Chelsea again, which we are heartily grieved for, and studious how to prevent it, if it be possible. I took horse, there being one appointed for me, and a groom to attend me, and so home, where my wife stayed up and sister for me, and so to bed, troubled for what I hear of my lord. The 20th of September, Lord's Day. Up and finding my father somewhat better, walked to Huntingdon Church, where in my lord's pew, with the young ladies by my lord's own showing me the place, I stayed the sermon, and so to Hinchingbrook, walking with Mr. Shepley and Dr. King, whom they account a witty man here as well as a good physician, and there my lord took me with the rest of the company, and singly demanded my opinion, in the walks in his garden, about the bringing of the crooked wall on the mount to a shape. And so to dinner, there being Colonel Williams, and much other company, and a noble dinner. But having before got my lord's warrant for travailing to-day, there being a proclamation read yesterday against it at Huntingdon, at which I am very glad, I took leave, leaving them at dinner, and I walked alone to my father's, and there, after a word or two to my father and mother, my wife and I mounted, and with my father's boy upon a horse I borrowed of Captain Ferrers, we rode to Bigglesworth, by the help of a couple of countrymen that led us through the very long and dangerous waters, because of the ditches on each side, though it begin to be very dark. And there we had a good breast of mutton roasted for us, and supped, and to bed. The 21st of September. Up very betimes by break of day, and got my wife up, whom the thought of this day's long journey doth discourage, and after eating something and changing of a piece of gold to pay the reckoning, we mounted, and through Baldwick, where a fair is kept to-day, and a great one for cheese and other such commodities. And so to Hatfield, it being most curious weather for the time we set out to our getting home, and here we dined, having got hither at 12 o'clock. And my wife being very weary, and believing that it would be hard to get her home to-night, and a great charge to keep her longer abroad, I took the opportunity of an empty coach that was to go to London, and left her to come into it to London for half-crown, and so I and the boy home as fast as we could drive. And it was even night before we got home, so that I account it very good fortune that we took this course, being myself very weary, much more would my wife have been. At home, find all very well, and my house in good order. To see Sir William Penn, who is pretty well, and Sir John Minnis, who is a little lame on one foot, and the rest gone to Chatham, viz. Sir George Carteret and Sir William Batten, who hath in my absence inveighed against my contract the other day for Warren's masts, in which he is a knave, and I shall find matter of triumph, but it vexes me a little. So home, and by and by comes my wife by coach, well, home, and having got a good fowl ready for supper against her coming, we eat heartily, and so with great content and ease to our own bed, there nothing appearing so to our content as to be at our own home after being abroad a while. The 22nd of September. I up well refreshed after my journey, and to my office, and there set some things in order, and then Sir William Penn and I meet and hold an office, and at noon home to dinner, and so by water with my wife to Westminster, she to see her father and mother. And we met again at my lord's lodgings, and thence by water home again, where at the door we met Sir William Penn and his daughter, coming to visit us. And after their visit, I to my office, and after some discourse to my great satisfaction with Sir William Warren about our bargain of masts, I wrote my letters by the post, and so home to supper and to bed. This day my wife showed me bills printed, wherein her father, with Sir John Colledon and Sir Edward Ford, hath got a patent for curing of smoking chimneys. I wish they may do good thereof, but fear it will prove but a poor project. This day the King and Queen are to come to Oxford. I hear my Lady Castlemaine is for certain gone to Oxford to meet him, having lain within here at home this week or two, supposed to have miscarried, but for certain is as great in favour as heretofore, at least Mistress Sarah at my lord's, who hears all from their own family, doth say so. Every day brings news of the Turks' advance into Germany, to the awakening of all the Christian princes thereabouts, and possessing himself of Hungary. My present care is fitting my wife's closet and my house, and making her a velvet coat, and me a new black cloth suit, and coat and cloak, and evening my reckonings as well as I can against Michaelmas Day, hoping for all that to have my balance as great or greater than ever I had yet. the 23rd of September. Up betimes and to my office, where setting down my journal while I was in the country to this day, and at noon by water to my Lord Crewe's, and there dined with him and Sir Thomas, thinking to have them inquire something about my Lord's going to Chelsea, or anything of that sort, but they did not, nor seemed to take the least notice of it, which is their discretion, though it might be better for my Lord, and them too, if they did, that so we might advise together for the best, which cannot be while we seem ignorant one to another, and it is not fit for me to begin the discourse. Thence walked to several places about business, and to Westminster Hall, thinking to meet Mistress Lane, which is my great vanity upon me at present, but I must correct it. She was not in the way. So by water home and to my office, whither by and by came my brother John to me, who is to go to Cambridge tomorrow, and I did give him a most severe reprimand for his bad account he gives me of his studies. This I did with great passion and sharp words, which I was sorry to be forced to say, but that I think it is for his good, for swearing doing anything for him, and that what I have yet, and now do give him, is against my heart, and will also be hereafter, till I do see him give me a better account of his studies. I was sorry to see him give me no answer, but for aught I see, to hear me without great resentment and such, as I should have had in his condition. But I have done my duty, let him do his, for I am resolved to be as good as my word. After 2 hours walking in the garden, till after it was dark, I ended with him, and to my office, and there set some papers in order. And so, to supper, I and my poor wife, who is mighty busy at home fitting her closet. So to bed. The 24th of September. Up betimes, and after taking leave of my brother John, who went from me to my father's this day, I went forth by water to Sir Philip Warwick's, where I was with him a pretty while, and in discourse he tells me, and made it appear to me, that the king cannot be in debt to the navy at this time £5,000. Nay, it is my opinion that Sir George Carteret doth owe the king money, and yet the whole navy debt paid. Thence I parted, being doubtful of myself that I have not spoke with the gravity and weight that I ought to do in so great a business. But I rather hope it is my doubtfulness of myself, and the haste which he was in, some very great personages waiting for him without, while he was with me, that made him willing to be gone. To the office by water, where we sat, doing little now Mr. Coventry is not here, but only vex myself to see what a sort of coxcombs we are when he is not here to undertake such a business as we do. In the afternoon, telling my wife that I go to Deptford, I went by water to Westminster Hall, and there, finding Mistress Lane, took her over to Lambeth, where we were lately, and there did what I would with her, but only the main thing, which she would not consent to, for which God be praised, and yet I came so near that I was provoked to spend. But trust in the Lord, I shall never do so again while I live. After being tired with her company, I landed her at Whitehall, and so home, and at my office writing letters till 12 at night almost, and then home to supper and bed, and there find my poor wife hard at work, which grieved my heart to see that I should abuse so good a wretch, and that it is just with God to make her bad to me for my wronging of her, but I do resolve never to do the like again. So to bed. The 25th of September. Lay pretty long in bed, and so to my office all the morning, till by and by, called out by Sir John Minnis and Sir William Batten, with them by water to Deptford, where it of a sudden did lighten, thunder and rain, so as we could do nothing but stay in Davis's house, and by and by Sir John Minnis and I home again by water, and I home to dinner, and after dinner to the office, and there till night all alone, none of my clerks being there, doing of business, and so home and to bed. The 26th of September. Up and to my office, and there we sat till noon, and then I to the Exchange, but did little there. But meeting Mr. Rawlinson, he would need have me home to dinner, and Mr. Dean of Woolwich being with me, I took him with me, and there we dined very well at his own dinner, only no invitation. but here I sat with little pleasure, considering my wife at home alone, and so I made what haste home I could, and was forced to sit down again at dinner with her, being unwilling to neglect her by being known to dine abroad, my doing so being only to keep Dean from dining at home with me, being doubtful what I have to eat. So to the office, and there till late at night, and so home, to supper and bed, mightily pleased to find my wife so mindful of her house. The 27th of September, Lord's Day. Lay chatting with my wife a good while, then up and got me ready, and to church, without my man William, whom I have not seen today, nor care, but could be glad to have him put himself far enough out of my favour that he may not wonder to have me put him away. So home to dinner, being a little troubled to see Pembleton look into the church, as he used to do, and my wife not being there, to go out again. But I do not discern in my wife the least memory of him. Dined, and so to my office a little, and then to church again, where a drowsy sermon, and so home to spend the evening with my poor wife, consulting about her closet, clothes, and other things. At night, to supper, though with little comfort, I finding myself both head and breast in great pain, and, which troubles me most, my right ear is almost deaf. It is a cold which God Almighty in justice did give me while I sat lewdly sporting with Mistress Lane the other day with the broken window in my neck. I went to bed with a posset, being very melancholy in consideration of the loss of my hearing. The 28th of September. Up, though with pain in my head, stomach, and ear, and that deaf, so that in my way by coach to Whitehall with Sir John Minnis, I called at Mr. Holliard's, who did give me some pills, and tells me I shall have my hearing again, and be well. So to Whitehall, where Sir John Minnis and I did spend an hour in the gallery looking over the pictures, in which he hath some judgment, and by the commissioners for Tangier met, and there my Lord Tiviot, together with Captain Cuttance, Captain Evans, and Jonas Moore, sent to that purpose, did bring us a brave draught of the mole to be built there, and report that it is likely to be the most considerable place the King of England hath in the world. And so I am apt to think it will. After discourse of this, and of supplying the garrison with some more horse, we rise, and Sir John Minnis and I home again, finding the street about our house full, Sir Richard Ford beginning his shrievalty today. And what with his and our houses being new painted, the street begins to look a great deal better than it did, and more graceful. Home and ate one bit of meat, and then by water with him and Sir William Batten to a sale of old provisions at Deptford, which we did at Captain Bodily's house, to the value of £600 or £700, but I'm not satisfied with the method used in this thing. Then home again by water, and after a little at my office, and visit Sir William Penn, who is not very well again with his late pain. Home to supper, being hungry and my ear and cold, not so bad, I think, as it was. So to bed, taking one of my pills. News that the King comes to town for certain on Thursday next, from his progress. The 29th of September. Took two pills more in the morning, and they worked all day, and I keep the house. About noon dined, and then to carry several heavy things with my wife up and down stairs in order to our going to lie above, and Will to come down to the wardrobe. And that put me into a violent sweat, so I had a fire made, and then being dry again, she and I to put up some paper pictures in the red chamber where we go to lie, very pretty, and the map of Paris. Then, in the evening, toward night, it fell to thunder, lighten, and rain so violently that my house was all afloat, and I in all the rain up to the gutters, and there dabbled in the rain and wet half an hour, enough to have killed a man. That done, downstairs to dry myself again, and by came Mr. Simpson, to set up my wife's chimney-piece in her closet, which pleases me, and so that being done, I to supper, and to bed, shifting myself from top to toe, and doubtful of my doing myself hurt. The 30th of September. rise very well and my hearing pretty well again, and so to my office. By and by Mr. Holyard came, and at my house he searched my ear, and I hope all will be well, though I do not yet hear so well as I used to do with my right ear. So to my office till noon, and then home to dinner, and in the afternoon by water to Whitehall to the Tangier Committee, where my Lord Tiviot brought his accounts, which grieves me to see that his accounts being to be examined by us, there is none of the great men at the board that in compliment will accept against anything in his accounts, and so none of the little persons dare do it. So the king is abused. Thence home again by water with Sir William Ryder, and so to my office, and there I sat late making up my month's accounts. And blessed be God, do find myself £760 creditor, notwithstanding that for clothes for myself and wife, and layings out on her closet, I have spent this month £47. So home, where I find our new cook-maid, Elizabeth, whom my wife never saw at all, nor I but once at a distance before, but recommended well by Mr. Creed, and I hope will prove well. So to supper, prayers, and bed. This evening Mr. Coventry is come to St. James, but I did not go see him, and tomorrow the King, Queen, Duke, and his lady, and the whole court comes to town from their progress. Myself and family well, only my father sick in the country. All the common talk for news is the Turks' advance in Hungary, etc. October 1663. The first. Up and betimes to my office, and then to sit, where Sir George Carteret, Sir William Batten, Sir William Penn, Sir John Minnis, William Coventry, and myself, a fuller board than by the King's progress, and the Duke's absence, and the late pays, and my absence hath been a great while. Sat late, and then home to dinner. After dinner I by water to Deptford about a little business, and so back again, buying a couple of good eels by the way. And after writing by the post, home to see the painter at work late in my wife's closet. And so to supper and to bed, having been very merry with the painter late while he was doing his work. This day the King and court returned from their progress. The 2nd of October. Up betimes and by water to St. James's, and there visited Mr. Coventry as a compliment after his new coming to town, but had no great talk to him, he being full of business. So back by foot through London, doing several errands, and at the change met with Mr. Cutler, and he and I to a coffee-house, and there discoursed. And he doth assure me that there is a great likelihood of a war with Holland, but I hope we shall be in good condition before it comes to break out. I like his company, and will make much of his acquaintance. So home to dinner with my wife, who is over head and ears in getting our house up, and so to the office and with Mr. Lewis late upon some of the old victuallers' accounts, and so home to supper and to bed, up to our red chamber where we purpose alway to lie. This day I received a letter from Mr. Barlow with a Torella, which I had hoped he had sent me, but to my trouble I find it is to present from him to my Lord Sandwich, but I will make a little use of it first, and then give it him. The 3rd of October. Up being well pleased with my new lodging and the convenience of having our maids and none else about us, Will lying below. So to the office, and there we sat full of business all the morning. At noon I home to dinner, and then abroad to buy a bell to hang by our chamber door to call the maids. Then to the office and met Mr. Blackburn, who came to know the reason of his kinsman's, my Will, his being observed by his friends of late to droop much. I told him my great displeasure against him, and the reasons of it to his great trouble, yet satisfaction for my care over him, and how everything I said was for the good of the fellow. And he will take time to examine the fellow about all, and to desire my pleasure concerning him, which I told him was either that he should become a better servant, or that we would not have him under my roof to be a trouble. He tells me in a few days he will come to me again, and we shall agree what to do therein. I home and told my wife all, and am troubled to see that my servants and others should be the greatest trouble I have in the world, more than for myself. We then to set up our bell with a smith, very well, and then I late at the office. So home to supper and bed. The 4th of October, Lord's Day. Up and to church, my house being miserably overflowed with rain last night, which makes me almost mad. My great fit of the colic. At home to dinner with my wife, and so to talk and to church again, and so home, and all the evening, most pleasantly passed the time in good discourse of our fortune and family, till supper, and so to bed, in some pain below, through cold got. The 5th of October. Up with pain, and with Sir John Minnis by coach to the Temple, and then I to my brother's, and up and down on business, and so to the New Exchange, and there met Creed, and he and I walked 2 or 3 hours, talking of many businesses, especially about Tangier, and my Lord Tiviot's bringing of high accounts, and yet, if they were higher, are like to pass without exception. And then of my Lord Sandwich, sending a messenger to know whether the King intends to come to Newmarket, as is talked, that he may be ready to entertain him at Hinchingbrook. Thence home and dined, and my wife all day putting up her hangings in her closet, which she doth very prettily herself with her own hand, to my great content. So I to the office till night about several businesses, and then went and sat an hour or two with Sir William Penn, talking very largely of Sir John Minnis's simplicity and unsteadiness, and Sir William Batten's suspicious dealings, wherein I was open, and he sufficiently, so that I do not care for his telling of tales, for he said as much. But whether that were so or no, I said nothing but what is my certain knowledge and belief concerning him. Thence home, and to bed in great pain. The 6th of October. Slept pretty well, and my wife waked to ring the bell to call up our maids to the washing about 4 o'clock, and I was, and she, angry that our bell did not wake them sooner. But I will get a bigger bell. So we to sleep again till 8 o'clock, and then I up in some ease to the office, where we had a full board, where we examined Cock's second account, which Mr. Turner had drawn a bill directly to be paid the balance thereof, as Mr. Cock demands, and Sir John Minnis did boldly assert the truth of it, and that he had examined it, when there is no such thing but many vouchers upon examination missing, and we saw reason to strike off several of his demands, and to bring down his 5% commission to 3%, so that we shall save the King some money, which both the Controller and his clerk had absolutely given away. There was also 2 occasions more of difference at the table, the one being to make out a bill to Captain Smith for his salary abroad as Commander-in-Chief in the Straits. Sir John Minnis did demand an increase of salary for his being Vice-Admiral in the Downs, he having received but 40 shillings without an increase, when Sir John Lawson in the same voyage had £3, and others have also had increase. Only he, because he was an officer of the board, was worse used than anybody else, and particularly told Sir William Batten that he was the opposer formerly of his having an increase, which I did wonder to hear him so boldly lay it to him. So we hushed up that dispute and offered, if he would, to examine precedents and report them, if there was anything to his advantage to be found, to the Duke. The next was Mr. Christopher Pett and Dean were summoned to give an account of some knees, which Pett reported bad, that were to be served in by Sir William Warren, we having contracted that none should be served, but such as were to be approved of by our officers, so that if they were bad, they were to be blamed for receiving them. Thence we fell to talk of Warren's other goods, which Pett had said were generally bad, and falling to this contract again, I did say it was the most cautious and as good a contract as had been made here, and the only that had been in such terms. Sir John Minnis told me angrily that Winter's timber, bought for 33 shillings per load, was as good and in the same terms. I told him that it was not so, but that he and Sir William Batten were both abused, and I would prove it was as dear a bargain as had been made this half year, which occasioned high words between them and me, but I am able to prove it, and will. That also was so ended, and so to other business. At noon, Llewellyn coming to me, I took him and Dean, and there met my Uncle Thomas, and we dined together, but was vexed that it being wash day, we had no meat dressed, but sent to the cook's, and my people had so little wit to send in our meat from abroad in the cook's dishes, which were marked with the name of the cook upon them, by which, if they observed anything, they might know it was not my own dinner. After dinner we broke up, and I, by coach, setting down Llewellyn in Cheapside, and so to Whitehall, where at the committee of Tangier. But, Lord, how I was troubled to see my Lord Tiviot's accounts of £10,000 passed in that manner, and wish a thousand times I had not been there. Thence rise with Sir George Carteret unto his lodgings, and there discoursed of our frays at the table to-day, and particularly of that of the contract and the contract of masts the other day, declaring my fair dealing, and so needing not any man's good report of it or word for it, and that I would make it so appear to him if he desired it, which he did, and I will do it. Thence home by water in great pain, and at my office a while, and thence a little to Sir William Penn, and so home to bed, and finding myself beginning to be troubled with wind, as I used to be, and with pain in making water, I took a couple of pills that I had by me of Mr. Holliard's. The 7th and 8th of October. They wrought in the morning, and I did keep my bed, and my pain continued on me mightily, that I kept within all day in great pain, and could break no wind, nor have any stool after my physic had done working. So in the evening I took coach, and to Mr. Holliard's, but he was not at home, and so home again. And whether the coach did me good or no, I know not, but having a good fire in my chamber, I begun to break 6 or 7 small and great farts, and so to bed, and lay in good ease all night, and pissed pretty well in the morning, but no more wind came as it used to do plentifully after it once begun, nor any inclination to stool. So, keeping myself warm, to the office, and at noon home to dinner, my pain coming again by breaking no wind, nor having any stool, so to Mr. Holliard, and by his direction, he assuring me that it is nothing of the stone, but only my constitution being costive, and that, and cold from without, breeding and keeping the wind, I took some powder that he did give me in white wine, and sat late up till past 11 at night, with my wife in my chamber, till it had done working, which was so weakly that I could hardly tell whether it did work or no. My maids being at this time in great dirt toward getting of all my house clean, and weary, and having a great deal of work to do therein tomorrow and next day, were gone to bed before my wife and I, who also do lie in our room, more like beasts than Christians, but that it is only in order to having of the house shortly in a cleaner, or rather very clean, condition. Some ease I had so long as this did keep my body loose, and I slept well. The 9th of October. And did keep my bed most of this morning, my body I find being still bound, and little wind, and so my pain returned again, though not so bad, but keeping my body with warm clothes very hot, I made shift to endure it, and at noon sent word to Mr. Holliard of my condition, that I could neither have a natural stool nor break wind, and by that means still in pain and frequent offering to make water. So he sent me 2 bottles of drink and some syrup, 1 bottle to take now, and the other tomorrow morning. So in the evening, after Commissioner Pett, who came to visit me and was going to Chatham, but methinks doth talk to me quite in another manner, doubtfully and shyly, and like a stranger to what he did heretofore, after I saw he was gone, I did drink one of them, but it was a most loathsome draught, and did keep myself warm after it, and had that afternoon still a stool or two, but in no plenty, nor any wind almost carried away. And so to bed, in no great pain, but do not think myself likely to be well till I have a freedom of stool and wind. Most of this day and afternoon my wife and I did spend together in setting things now up and in order in her closet, which indeed is, and will be, when I can get her some more things to put in it, a very pleasant place, and is at present very pretty, and such as she, I hope, will find great content in. So, to bed. The 10th of October. Up, and not in any good ease yet, but have pain in making water, and some course I see I must take, besides keeping myself warm, to make myself break wind and go freely to stool before I can be well, neither of which I can do yet, though I have drunk the other bottle of Mr. Holliard's against my stomach this morning. I did, however, make shift to go to the office where we sat, and there Sir John Minnis and Sir William Batten did advise me to take some juniper water, and Sir William Batten sent to his lady for some for me, strong water made of juniper. Whether that or anything else of my draught this morning did it, I cannot tell, but I had a couple of stools forced after it, and did break a fart or two, but whether I shall grow better upon it I cannot tell. Dined at home at noon, my wife and house in the dirtiest pickle that ever she and it was in almost, but in order I hope this night to be very clean. To the office all the afternoon upon Vittler's business, and late at it, so after wrote by the post to my father, I home. This evening Mr. Holliard sends me an electuary to take, a walnut quantity of it, going to bed, which I did. 'Tis true I slept well and rise in a little ease in the morning. The 11th of October, Lord's Day. And was mightily pleased to see my house clean and in good condition, but something coming into my wife's head and mind to be done more about bringing the green bed into our chamber, which is handsomer than the red one, though not of the colour of our hangings. My wife forbore to make herself clean today, but continued in a sluttish condition till tomorrow. I, after the old pass, all the day within doors, I finding myself neither to fart nor go to stool after one stool in the morning, the effect of my electuary last night. And the greatest of my pains, I find, to come by my straining to get something out backwards, which strains my yard and cods, so as to put me to a great and long pain after it, and my pain and frequent desire to make water, which I must therefore forbear. For all this I eat with a very good stomach, and as much as I used to do, and so I did this noon, and stayed at home discoursing and doing things in my chamber, altering my chairs in my chamber, and set them above in the red room, they being turkey work, and so put their green covers upon those that were above, not so handsome. At night fell to reading in the church history of Fuller's, and particularly Cranmer's letter to Queen Elizabeth, which pleases me mightily for his zeal, obedience, and boldness in a cause of religion. After supper to bed as I used to be, in pain, without breaking wind and shitting. The 12th of October. Up, though, slept well and made some water in the morning as I used to do, and a little pain returned to me and some fears. But being forced to go to the Duke at St. James, I took coach, and in my way called on Mr. Holliard, and had his advice to take a glister. At St. James's we attended the Duke, all of us, and there, after my discourse, Mr. Coventry, of his own accord, begun to tell the Duke how he found that discourse abroad did run to his prejudice, about the fees that he took, and how he sold places and other things, wherein he desired to appeal to His Highness whether he did anything more than what his predecessors did, and appealed to all us. So Sir George Carteret did answer that some fees were heretofore taken, but what he knew not, only that selling of places never was nor ought to be countenanced. So Mr. Coventry very hotly answered to Sir George Carteret, and appealed to himself whether he was not one of the first that put him upon looking after this taking of fees, and that he told him that Mr. Smith should say that he made £5,000 that first year, and he believed he made £7,000. This Sir George Carteret denied, and said that if he did say so he told a lie, for he could not nor did know that ever he did make that profit of his place, but that he believes he might say £2,500 the first year. Mr. Coventry instanced in another thing particularly, wherein Sir George Carteret did advise with him about the selling of the auditor's place of the stores, when in the beginning there was an intention of creating such an office. This he confessed, but with some lessening of the tale Mr. Coventry told, it being only for respect to my Lord Fitzharding. In fine, Mr. Coventry did put into the Duke's hand a list of above 250 places that he did give without receiving one farthing, so much as his ordinary fee for them, upon his life and oath, and that since the Duke's establishment of fees he had never seed one token more of no man, and that in his whole life he never conditioned or discoursed of any consideration from any commanders since he came to the Navy. And afterward, my Lord Berkeley, merrily discoursing that he wished his profit greater than it was, and that he did believe that he had got £50,000 since he came in, Mr. Coventry did openly declare that his lordship, or any of us, should have not only all he had got, but all he had in the world, and yet he did not come a beggar into the Navy, nor would yet be thought to speak in any contempt of his Royal Highness's bounty, and should have a year to consider of it too, for £25,000. The Duke's answer was that he wished we all had made more profit than he had of our places, and that we had all of us got as much as one man below stairs in the court, which he presently named, and it was Sir George Lane. This being ended and the list left in the Duke's hand, we parted, and I, with Sir George Carteret, Sir John Minnis, and Sir William Batten, by coach to the Exchange, and there a while, and so home. And whether it be the jogging, or by having of my mind more employed, which I believe is a great matter, I know not, but I do now piss with much less pain, and begin to be suddenly well, at least better than I was. So, home, and to dinner, and thence by coach to the old Exchange, and there cheapened some laces for my wife, and then to Mr. the great lace man in Cheapside, and bought one cost me £4, more by 20 shillings than I intended, but when I came to see them I was resolved to buy one worth wearing with credit. And so to the new Exchange, and there put it to making, and so to my lord's lodgings and left my wife, and so I to the committee of Tangier, and then late home with my wife again by coach, beginning to be very well, and yet when I came home and went to try to shit, the very little straining, which I thought was no strain at all at the present, did by and by bring me some pain for a good while. Anon, about 8 o'clock, my wife did give me a clyster which Mr. Holliard directed, viz., a pint of strong ale, 4 ounces of sugar, and 2 ounces of butter. It lay while I lay upon the bed above an hour, if not two, and then, thinking it quite lost, I rose, and by it begun, with my walking, to work, and gave me 3 or 4 most excellent stools, and carried away wind, put me into excellent ease, and taking my usual walnut quantity of electuary at my going into bed, I had about 2 stools in the night, and pissed well, voided some wind. The 13th of October. And so rose in the morning in perfect good ease, but only strain I put myself to shit more than I needed, but continued all the morning well, and in the afternoon had a natural easily and dry stool, the first I have had these 5 days or 6, for which God be praised, and so am likely to continue well, observing for the time to come when any of this pain comes again. Rules for my health. 1. To begin to keep myself warm as I can. 2. Strain as little as ever I can backwards, remembering that my pain will come by and by, though in the very straining I do not feel it. 3. Either by physic forward, or by clyster backward, or both ways, to get an easy and plentiful going to stool and breaking of wind. 4. To begin to suspect my health immediately, when I begin to become costive and bound, and by all means to keep my body loose, and that to obtain presently, after I find myself going to the contrary. This morning at the office, and at noon with Creed to the Exchange, where much business. But, Lord, how my heart, though I know not reason for it, begun to doubt myself after I saw Stint, Field's one-eyed solicitor, though I know not anything that they are doing, or that they endeavour anything further against us in that business till the term. Home, and Creed with me to dinner, and after dinner John Cole, my old friend, came to see me, and speak with me about a friend. I find him ingenious, but do more and more discern his city pedantry. But, however, I will endeavour to have his company now and then, for that he knows much of the temper of the city, and is able to acquaint therein as much as most young men, being of large acquaintance, and himself, I think, somewhat unsatisfied with the present state of things at court and in the church. Then to the office, and there busy till late, and so home to my wife, with some ease and pleasure that I hope to be able to follow my business again, which, by God's leave, I am resolved to return to with more and more eagerness. I find at court that either the king is doubtful of some disturbance, or else would seem so, and I have reason to hope it is no worse, by his commanding all commanders of castles, etc., to repair to their charges, and mustering the guards the other day himself, where he found reason to dislike their condition to my Lord Gerard, finding so many absent men or dead pays. My Lady Castlemaine, I hear, is in as great favour as ever, and the king supped with her the very first night he came from Bath, and last night, and the night before, supped with her, when, there being a chine of beef to roast, and the tide rising into the kitchen, that it could not be roasted there, and the cook telling her of it, she answered, "Zounds, she must set the house on fire, but it should be roasted." So it was carried to Mistress Sarah's husband's, and there it was roasted. So home to supper and to bed, being mightily pleased with all my house and my red chamber, where my wife and I intend constantly to lie, and the having of our dressing-room and maids close by us, without any interfering or trouble. The 14th of October. Up and to my office, where all the morning, and part of it, Sir John Minnis spent, as he doth everything else, like a fool, reading the anatomy of the body to me, but so sillily, as to the making of me understand anything, that I was weary of him. And so I toward the change, and met with Mr. Grant, and he and I to the coffee-house, where I understand by him that Sir William Petty and his vessel are coming, and the king intends to go to Portsmouth to meet it. Thence home, and after dinner, my wife and I, by Mr. Rawlinson's conduct, to the Jewish synagogue, where the men and boys in their veils, and the women behind a lattice out of sight, and some things stand up, which I believe is their law, in a press, to which all coming in do bow, and at the putting on their veils do say something, to which others that hear him do cry Amen, and the party doth kiss his veil. Their service all in a singing way, and in Hebrew, and anon their laws, that they take out of the press, is carried by several men, four or five, several burdens in all, and they do relieve one another, or whether it is that everyone desires to have the carrying of it, I cannot tell. Thus they carried it round about the room while such a service is singing. And in the end they had a prayer for the king, which they pronounced his name in Portugal, but the prayer, like the rest, in Hebrew. But, Lord, to see the disorder, laughing, sporting, and no attention but confusion in all their service, more like brutes than people knowing the true God, would make a man forswear ever seeing them more. And, indeed, I never did so much, or could have imagined there had been any religion in the world so absurdly performed as this. Away thence, with my mind strangely disturbed with them, by coach, and set down my wife in Westminster Hall, and I to Whitehall, and there the Tangier Committee met, but the Duke and the Africa Committee meeting in our room, Sir George Carteret, Sir William Compton, Mr. Coventry, Sir William Ryder, Cuttance, and myself met in another room, with chairs set in form, but no table. And there we had very fine discourses of the business of the fitness to keep Sally, and also of the terms of our king's paying the Portuguese, that deserted their houses at Tangier, which did much please me. And so to fetch my wife, and so to the new exchange about her things, and called at Thomas Pepys the turner's, and bought some things there, and so home to supper and to bed. After I had been a good while with Sir William Penn, railing and speaking freely our minds against Sir William Batten and Sir John Minnis, but no more than the folly of one and the knavery of the other doth deserve. The 15th of October. Up, I bless God, being now in pretty good condition, but cannot come to make natural stools yet, and going to enjoy my wife this morning, I had a very great pain in the end of my yard when my yard was stiff, as if I strained some nerve or vein, which was great pain to me. So up and to the office where we sat all the morning, and at noon dined at home, my head full of business. And after stepping abroad to buy a thing or two, compasses and snuffers for my wife, I returned to my office, and there mighty busy till it was late, and so home, well contented with the business that I had done this afternoon, and so to supper and to bed. The 16th of October. Up and to my office, where all the morning doing business, and at noon home to dinner, and then up to remove my chest and clothes upstairs to my new wardrobe, that I may have all my things above where I lie, and so by coach abroad with my wife, leaving her at my lord's till I went to the Tangier Committee, where very good discourse concerning the articles of peace to be continued with Guyland, and thence took up my wife, and with her to the tailor's, and then to the exchange, and to several places, and so home and to my office, where doing some business, and then home to supper and to bed. The 17th of October. Up and to the office, and there we sat, a very full board, all the morning upon some accounts of Mr. Gordon's. Here happened something concerning my will, which Sir William Batten would fain charge upon him, and I heard him mutter something against him of complaint for his often receiving of people's money to Sir George Carteret, which displeased me much, but I will be even with him. Thence to the Dolphin Tavern, and there Mr. Gordon did give us a great dinner. Here we had some discourse of the Queen's being very sick, if not dead, the Duke and Duchess of York being sent for betimes this morning to come to Whitehall to her. So to my office, and there late doing business, and so home to supper, my house being got mighty clean, to my great content, from top to toe, and so to bed, myself beginning to be in good condition of health also, but only my laying out so much money upon clothes for myself and wife and her closet troubles me.